Welcome to the Aging Well podcast. I'm Jeff Armstrong, here with Corbin Bruton. In this and the episodes that follow, we will share candid discussions on aging and hear from the experts. We are here to inform and encourage as we experience, well, aging. A recent study published by the American Medical Association concluded that higher pre-pandemic physical activity levels may be associated with reduced risks of SARS-CoV-2 infection and hospitalization from COVID-19. In this episode, we discuss why and the importance of exercise in maintaining a healthy body composition for our health and aging well.
Dr. Armstrong, do you remember COVID-19?
Do I remember COVID-19? Dude, it's only 2024. How can I not remember the pandemic that still affects us today?
What would you say if I told you that a recent study published in American Medical Association in the JAMA Network 1 concluded that higher pandemic physical activities levels may be associated with reduced odds of SARS-CoV-2 infection and hospitalization of COVID-19.
I would say I'm not surprised and that I am excited to finally be seeing such reports. The article you're referring to is Pre-Pandemic Physical Activity and Risk of COVID-19 Diagnosis and Hospitalizations in Older Adults, published February 13th, 2024, by Munoz Ferreira and others in JAMA Network Online. We'll share a link in the episode notes.
You've been pretty vocal about the role of physical activity and obesity rates in COVID-19. And I think that this is a good topic for discussion on the Aging Well podcast.
Yes, I have been a bit vocal, and it hasn't always popular. I do stand proudly on my soapbox on inflamma inactivity.
So you're referring to the 2019 paper by Flynn and others?
Yes, it's titled Elevated Inflammatory Status and Increased Risks of Chronic Disease in Chronological Aging. Inflammaging or Inflam Inactivity. It's by Flynn and others in Aging and Disease. Michael Flynn, by the way, was a professor of mine in my PhD program at the University of Toledo, where he inspired my initial interest in physical activity and the immune system.
So age-associated hyperinflammation is associated more with inactivity than age per se.
That is the hypothesis. And there is a good amount of evidence to back this up. More than we could probably list in the episode notes. Certainly, the immune system declines with age. That is why it was a risk factor. That is a risk factor for COVID-19 and infectious disease.
But physical activity helps reduce the risk of infection.
Indeed. I think we preach that quite a bit on the Aging Well podcast.
You can't age well if you're sick. You also mentioned obesity playing a role in the COVID-19. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I would contend that obesity is a central factor in most of the health-related issues plaguing the U.S. and internationally. Recall that it is a central factor in metabolic disease, leading to heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes, as well as an increased risk for many types of cancer. Obesity is central in many preventable diseases. COVID-19 is among these. Obesity increases one's susceptibility to infection, and it decreases the efficacy of vaccinations.
So it's kind of a double whammy, less protected and more susceptible. And we see this in the literature?
I do. I don't know if most of the medical profession pays attention, though.
The pharmaceutical companies don't seem to want to pay attention.
And to be clear, I am not anti-vaccine. I just believe the population needs to be better informed and that the medical profession needs to take a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach.
So kind of like prevention rather than treatment.
Prevention more so than just treatment. We need to change behaviors that make us sick so that the treatment is reserved for those who are most vulnerable.
Now, you've talked about a J curve with regards to the immune system. Does that play a role here?
I see it playing a role here regarding both activity and body composition.
Are you referring to COVID infections?
I am. Throughout COVID, I noticed a trend in the literature.
A J curve.
A J curve surrounding body composition. Now, body composition was represented by the body mass index, or BMI, but we can circle back on that. What we can see in the literature is that obesity significantly increases the risk of COVID infection, hospitalization, being on a respirator, and even death. The lowest risk was among individuals with a BMI somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 to 26.
So people who are slightly overfat?
Overfat according to BMI, but...
Overfat is based on height and weight, not body composition. So these are likely people who are more adequately muscled, who are physically active with low to moderate body fat.
That is my assumption. And that would be the average. Maybe the average is a bit more fat than lean, but an overall healthy body composition. There will be some in that range who are truly overfat and under-muscled, and some who are highly muscled, which can affect the data. But overall, 23 to 26 seems to be the target BMI for overall health.
Okay, so what about BMI levels that are below 23? Are they healthier?
Remember, we are looking at a J curve. Lower BMIs represent higher risks, not as high as the obese category, but higher than the moderate BMIs.
So the risk increase as BMI decreases below around 23. Why do you think that is?
Well, people with BMIs below 20 fall into two categories, those who are lean and those who are under-muscled and overfat. The latter are what we might call skinny fat.
So why might this group be at a higher risk?
Those who are skinny fat are likely very sedentary. They might also assume that they are healthier than they are because they are not, quote unquote, overweight. The very lean may see some levels of hormonal disruption that can lead to a weakened immune system. Many who are under-muscled and under-fat are people who train intensely, which creates an open window for infection.
So that brings us back to activity. Refresh the listeners on Neiman's J curve.
David Neiman demonstrated in the late 90s that while sedentary individuals had an average risk of upper respiratory tract infections, that risk significantly reduced in individuals who exercised moderately and increased significantly in individuals who participated in prolonged intensive exercise.
So more isn't always better.
No, and actually, good news for those of us who don't have all the time in the world to exercise or don't like long, intensive cardio.
And those who do?
Well, by all means, train hard. Just mitigate the risk of getting sick.
Avoid exposure, eat a healthy diet, and get adequate recovery.
Yeah.
Okay. So it really does come down to not smoking, getting regular exercise and physical activity, eating a healthy diet, preferably the Mediterranean diet, maintaining a healthy body composition, and having good sleep hygiene.
In my humble, informed opinion, yes, it comes down to these.
So do you think it's a mistake to close the gyms when the pandemic hit?
It may have been necessary in the early weeks to do so to get a handle on the virus, but once they had a bit more understanding of how the virus acted and was transmitted, yes.
Well, obesity levels rose and activity levels fell during the pandemic.
I think we're still seeing high inactivity levels. More than 3/4 of the U.S. population are not meeting the minimum guidelines for physical activity.
Yeah, and inactivity and obesity carry a hefty price tag.
A small shift in behavior could save the U.S. billions in healthcare dollars.
And save lives.
And save lives.
Well, this was an informative discussion. Exercise beat COVID-19 and is one of the best defenses against the illness. I hope our listeners are hearing this and will take these steps to be healthy and age well.
Age well. Thank you for listening. I hope you benefited from today's podcast. And until next time, keep aging well.